the sports teams that exist. Certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
Here we go.
America's team, Mexico's team, world's team, my Dallas Cowboys.
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Holland.
Hello, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to another episode of the World's Team. Remember, it's not just America's team. It is the World's Team. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and I am joined, as always, by my brother-in-arms. You can find him on bloggingtheboys.com. It's no other than Mr. Mike Pollan. How are we doing, brother?
Yeah, good. And still trying to catch up on lost sleep. Let's try and figure it out. We've had about 10 hours sleep in 4 days. With everything else, other shows, couple that didn't pan out, unfortunately, plus all the articles and everything else. And you're just like, today, I've been seeing spots.
A little bit of blanked out moments, have we?
Yeah, it's got to the point where you're like, I'm asking other people, I'm like, can you check what I've written? Can you check it makes sense?
I'm kind of like that in my day job, to be honest, mate.
Make sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to ask questions. Am I talking sense here? My boss is like, "Ah, yeah, we but do Wally. Are you all right?" And I told him what happened. He's like, "Oh, all right, okay."
I get it.
He's just like, "Oh, football stuff. I get it." You know.
Hard work.
But yes, folks. Finally, the NFL draft is done. We are across the finish line, finally. So the Dallas Cowboys made all their draft picks. There was like one trade involved. We made some undrafted free agent signings as well. So here today, we are going to break down our draft picks and kind of give like a overall assessment and grade on each of those picks and overall. So first of all, Mike, pick number 12, Mr. Tyler Booker from Alabama.
So, for disclosure, anyone who didn't watch the live show in the week, Paul had a slightly hot reaction to this pick, shall we say?
Initially, yes.
We talked you down off the ledge.
No, well, I think it was more the fact when I had a bit of sleep and think logically behind the pick, it made me feel a lot better about it. A hell of a lot better, if I'll be perfectly honest. But initially, my heart and soul was Tet McMillan, no matter what, or wide receiver or running back. That was my... And I guess I kind of fell into the loophole of your mainstream media NFL analysts saying, oh, we should do this and should do that. But no, I should actually just stuck to my gut and instinct and say, okay, what is the biggest need? O-line is one of the biggest needs. And what way to do that was get the best guard in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, look, not just offensive line. Run blocking was an issue last year, mostly because we had so many different line combinations throughout the year because of injuries. But regardless, still, you go back and you look and you go, right, run blocking's and what I tend to lean towards more when we talk about the issues of the run blocking with Dallas was at the start of the season, especially while Dak was in there. You look at while Dak was in, the offensive line had so many issues trying to establish the run. They just could not do it. They couldn't get there. I mean, this pick, I mean, all right, we lose Zach Martin. That is a big issue. But you take a guy like Tyler Booker, and I had a video on my Twitter that's gone insanely viral at the moment of Tyler Booker's blocking, and basically it's Jalen Milroe running behind him. Yeah. And I know some of it, reading between the lines, people are like, well, Dak doesn't run the football. It's like, okay, yeah. But what it's more attesting to is his ability to carve out holes, not just initially at the line of scrimmage. He can get into the next level, get to those linebackers and clear them out.
I mean, I guess that was my only criticism in some way for Tyler Booker. He probably had one of the worst RAS scores for coming at the combine. But when you look at the game film over and over again, it's like, and compared it to the combine, it just seems night and day difference. So I don't know if the combine was quite an off day, but we do know though, Mike, the interview process was fantastic for time.
Yeah. I mean, like, look.
He impressed a lot of people. Right? So just to put this in perspective, so the whole trade scenario, like, obviously, we all know, like, if Ted McMillan was gone, we were going to explore our options. Mm-hmm. And one of those options was the Houston Texans willing to come up from 25 to 12. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there was no deal included. But the rumor is that the Texans were willing to move up all the way to 12 to get Tyler Booker themselves.
Yeah. I mean, that is a big trade. And if you think, if they're like, well, who's going to be available to us at 25? And all the guys that they wanted, who they were just like completely sold on, they feel that all those guys are going to be gone by pick 25, then the trade becomes worthless because it's just like, well, who are we taking? Well, whatever, whoever. That's not a plan. This pick, by sticking and taking Booker, feels like a plan, especially once we go through now the rest of the draft and how certain parts of it fit. Now you can see a plan coming together. The sequencing made sense, and also the other picks that all fall into place. And you go, that was the plan.
Yeah, there was a plan and there was a theme behind this draft. This draft process, 100%. I totally 100%. Agree with you. I mean, the one thing it got me even more buzzing about Tyler Booker was he was on the Gridiron interview with Michael Parsons, and he was says like, it's like football is like playing like kids play. Like, kids like get so excited. I love playing football, blah, blah, blah. And until they meet Tyler Booker, it's like you see the love of football going away from their eyes. And that's what I'm willing to do. And even for me, I got absolutely pumped up even before Micah Parsons reacted. I was like, oh, get me something. Yeah, that's the attitude I want in that O-line. And just to kind of add what you're saying, and this kind of goes to the theme we're about to say, Tyler Booker is a leader in Alabama, right? He has like those leadership qualities. Like, I know we're talking about like maybe like Tyler Smith, see the guy. I know like Booker is just a rookie, but he can come on board and actually bring that tenaciousness of leadership to that O-line to really sort it out.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Like, just when you think about it, mate, like Tyler Guyton, obviously, like, we don't know if he's going to play on the left or play on the right. If he's playing on the right, is Smith going on to the left tackle? Then Booker playing on left guard, and that leaves a spot for like some Brock Hoffman on right guard. So we need to figure
out. There's
plenty of options here for sure. But I think the thing is that either way, it's like the interior is strengthened up significantly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if you push Tyler Smith out to left tackle, which I don't think is a good idea. I don't. Like, I'm happy keeping Tyler Smith at left guard and put Tyler Booker at right guard. I really want to enforce the interior. So with the combination of Tyler Smith, Tyler Booker, and Cooper Beebe in that interior, eight gaps are going to be money. And when we connect the dots with what we've also done in the draft, it makes sense. It makes so much sense.
Really, this all boils down to now, we get to training camp. They get to tinker around with things. What this battle of the offensive line comes down to now is it's not a battle between Hoffman and Booker, and it's not a battle between Guyton and Steele. What I think the battle is right now is between Hoffman and Steele. Not for the right tackle position, but who's better? Who's better at their position? Because then that gives you your best starting five. And depending how that goes, if Hoffman's better than Steele, the line all shifts and changes, and we'll see a complete change around.
I still think the starting lineup is still going to be Guyton, Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, Tyler Booker, and Terrence Steele. I think that's still going to
make the most sense.
It makes the most sense. But even with that, when you've got likes of Hoffman, T.G. Bass, and likes of Charles and all the other, and Cornelius, etc., like, we've got valuable backups now. Like, we've actually strengthened the backup positions, even as well. So we've took a good step, because the one thing we had previously before with the Dallas Cowboys is what there was a drop-off point. When Tyron Smith was off, there was a big drop-off. But whereas here, I think we've closed the gap now in terms of if someone was to go out, there's going to be maybe a slight dip in terms of productivity from one of these players, depending on the position and stuff like that. But it's not as significant anymore, and we can still keep the train moving, per se, keep the ball moving those extra yards up the field.
Yeah, I think what we saw last year, when depth on the offensive line was seriously tested because of injuries, they've gone overboard this year. And, you know, we'll talk about it more, but they've really gone after offensive linemen with what they've done, because they've got so much depth. But with depth, it's not so much with depth. You're like, oh, we've got plenty of depth for injuries now. No, what we're looking at this stage now is competition, because there's so many numbers.
Yes.
Like, what you're hoping is so many boats in the water will make that tide rise.
And this is perfect for our offensive line coach, Connor Riley, and our offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams, who also was a former offensive line coach as well. So you're going into it with a blank canvas. It's like, all right, guys, we'll see what you're made of. I want the five best guys compete.
I'm looking at it now. There's 16 offensive linemen on this roster right now.
I think we're definitely going to be, I would say we're going to keep up at 12, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends.
Well, 11, I would say 10 minimum, 12 most. Just like, in case.
You've got Big Earl Bostic.
Yep.
But then there's that battle with Nathan Thomas and Dakota Shepley. Dakota Shepley's obviously inside guy, but I mean for a roster position.
Yeah.
You know, these are the things we need to be looking at. I like Shepley. I mean, we've got to speak to Shepley. He's a very cool dude.
Massive car enthusiast, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, lovely gentleman. And it's going to be really tough for him to really compete. He's going to compete. But now that we've brought in extra reinforcements to the group, per se, it's going to increase, like, the chances of him making it into this year's roster is going to be a little bit slimmer. So,
definitely.
But again,
and he's not one of the guys, because, like, he's not been drafted. You know, he was one of those guys who was on the roster when Shotty already got you. He's there, and it's kind of like, oof, this is tough, mate. We'll have to chat to him. We need to chat to him.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But but I'm rooting for Shepley, man. Like, I think he's a great guy, like, really great mindset. And he's a good, like, if I have any, like, recommendations for cars to get, I at least I know who to ask.
But, and he's a brilliant superhero villain.
That's right. He was, what was he in again?
Deadpool.
That's right. He was in Deadpool. He played one of the villains, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as an extra, like an extra that's villain. Right.
Like over there doing stuff, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, so Tyler Booker, pick number 12. So give me your grade for Tyler Booker, Mike.
For me, because Zach Martin's gone, we need to do something, but it's the high character, leadership, bulldozing mentality, and also the fact that he's going to be a guy who I think is going to lead that offensive line. Mm-hmm. That's what it needs. It needs that now Zach Martin's gone. How you cannot give this an A- at this stage is beyond. I gave it a B+ initially when it first came out. And I'm like, nah, when you step back and you kind of step outside the circle and look back in and you look at it and you listen to the things Booker said in his, and you mentioned it, in his interviews and press conferences, I'm like, that's a dog. That's a dude. That's an A- for me.
An ultra professional as well.
Yeah.
For me, mate, like, I'll probably stick to a B+. But then again, the reason why I'm saying B+, it was just because of where we picked him more than
I anything. I get that.
That's the only reason. Like, if we were maybe like a couple of places back, like, see where we're 16th or something like that. That would have been an A+ for me. I'm sorry. That would have been but then again, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, mate. I'm going to go with an A-.
A-.
Like, just purely because of the need, the temperament, the attitude, what you can do in the field. Like,
zero sacks in the SEC last year.
One of the most competitive leagues in college, 100%.
Especially in the trenches.
Absolutely. Yep. I totally agree with you. Okay, moving on to our second round pick. This is by far my favorite, Mike.
It was funny, right, Paul? Is when this pick came in. You know, like initially we have mixed reactions with Booker. There was no mixed reactions on this
one. It was like, oh! It's like, no way. It was a surprise. But I think the way it was like, oh, we went defensive end. Wait, hold on a minute. This guy's an absolute dog. And who we're referring to is Donovan Isaraku. I think, is that how
you got it?
Oh, my God. I got it spot on. My goodness. Yeah. I've actually got a name right. So Donovan Isaraku from Boston College. He was our second round pick at pick number 44?
Yes. Yeah.
Pick 44. I'm trying to remember the numbers of the picks, but hopefully you'll keep me right on that then, Mike. Mike, break down Donovan's statistics.
It's wild. This is a guy who you go 80 total tackles and you go, oh, wow. And
then defensive lineman, 80 plus tackles. That's like ridiculous.
You go, that's a linebacker. And then you go, and you go, but wait. And then you go, no, he has 21 tackles for a loss. And then he has 17 sacks. And and all of this was leading the conference. And he gets Defensive Player of the Year. And then you throw in the other awards he has. And he's All-America. And he's from Boston College. You're like, this guy is insane. He has linebacker stats with defensive end stats. And this dude is on this team. High motor guy.
Yeah.
You talk about, we talked about theme, right, Paul?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The theme shows itself again. That a guy with those statistics, just like Booker, who has very few sacks and pressures allowed, Isaraku has all of the statistics you want in a defense. And you go, that's high character guys who are staying in the office, working in the gym, and are willing to put in the effort. And then you go, yeah, he was also the captain of his team, just like Booker was. And you go, there is the theme. Blue collar, captain, leader of the team, leader of the position. And you go, here we go. This is now we're seeing to something develop. When this pick came in, I mean, if this
we
was
both
like,
reacted like, wow,
yeah,
holy crap. We went defensive end, but it was like who we picked, and it was Donovan Isaraku.
Yeah,
like to me, Mike, like, and the one thing I loved about Donovan is when I was watching this game film, is his ability to bend round the edge. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, can you imagine with him, Donovan Isaraku, and Micah Parsons at the side?
How do you stop? What are you doing to stop them?
This is. It's got me excited for the defense. Put it that way. Don't get me wrong. We've got problems with stopping the run, but when it comes to the pass rush, it has went up a notch by five. It has went up a notch by a lot.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way, right? You're just saying that him and Micah Parsons together. You go, whew, we still don't know what we're getting in Sam Williams. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've spoken to the dude many, many times. The most positive, happiest guy you'll ever meet. But you think if we get that guy we saw who's explosive off the line, just like thunders down the field with Sam Williams, you go, whoo. And you go, but wait, don't forget, the Cowboys also added Dante Fowler in free agency. So you have this insane mix.
Don't forget Marshawn Nealand.
Marshawn Nealand on the other side, very much a run-stopping type defense.
Yeah.
Brilliant at setting the edge.
Yeah. So this is the interesting part, right? So we've now got Fowler, Parsons, Isaraku, and Sam Williams. Four, like, really decent edge rushers to really get to the quarterback. But when you can mix in the likes of, like, Marshawn Nealand in there, we've now got a nice mix up of where we can
different guys you can play
exactly. Yeah. Like we can be very situational in certain areas now.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic pick from the Dallas Cowboys. Will McClay did a great job on this one.
Yeah. And just to add, you said you watched the tape on his bend. I mean, the big one for me on bend. On how, certainly for defensive ends, there's a nice sort of test, if you like, of their end. It's the three-cone drill. Love the three-cone drill for defensive ends. This dude ran a 6.94 three-cone. That's a defensive end. 91st percentile. I know.
It just makes you wonder why he was not drafted higher. Is it maybe because of the college he was at, or is it the competition, etc.?
I just think when you look at all the other picks, all these other teams were just like, right, this is what we're doing. If he's available, there was a lot in the first round, especially of this is who we're taking. This is going to be our guy. There was a lot of that. So a lot of these guys, like Isaraku, just completely fell out of the first and into the second. He was just there, weren't
he? He was there for the taking. Like, I mean, we did kind of slightly mention it, Sliv Donovan. So that would be quite a nice surprise. Mm-hmm. But we didn't expect the Cowboys to actually pull the trigger on it. We didn't expect that. And that's why we're like, wow, holy crap, we did do it.
Yeah. Wow. And what's funny is we was on Nick's show. Talking about different situations of the draft, and we brought up defensive end, and we were like, these are some guys. We were like, well, guys, what about defensive end? And everyone was like, do you know what? We didn't think about that. And then the discussion turned to that. Isaraku was a name that people said. Mm-hmm. They were like, that would be a nice pickup. And you're like, you got to keep your options open. If it falls and it happens, that would be great.
Don't forget, like one of the early mock drafts we did, not for the world's team. I believe it was for the UK Cowboys when we did that.
Yeah.
We picked Donovan at 44. We did.
Yeah.
We did do that.
In fact, I'll have to try and find it.
Yeah, and I mean it was a long while ago. I can't remember who we picked first. I think it might have been Golden, or it might have been McMillan, it might have been actually been Genty for all we know at the time.
I think it was. I think we picked Genty because we were just like, let's start off on the right foot.
Yeah.
We didn't want to rock the boat too early.
Well, I think this might be the easiest grading to do.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you go first.
This is a solid A+, in my opinion. Like, it's. I'm just so excited for this one. I really am, Mike. Yeah. His ability is like his arm reach as well. Like, he's very long for a defensive end. His ability to off blocks as well, and he's for a speed he's got as well. Oh my goodness! Like
82.5-inch wingspan.
Yeah, like that's like almost the same. Like, maybe not as long as John Jones, the UFC heavyweight fighter, but it's still a long reach. It's enough to get offensive linemen off your chest plate. Put it that way. So,
it's a hell of a pick. Hell of a, I'm with you. I'm A+. If there was like an A++, of all the picks, F-only. This is the best one. This for me is the best one in terms of value, in terms of skill set, and in terms as well of not just character and leadership, but zero red flags.
Yes.
There's nothing there. This is the cleanest player that you've got.
Yes. So moving on to round number 3, a pick 76. The Dallas Cowboys selects Shavon Ravel Jr. from East Carolina. A guy we talked about a lot. Very talented. Very talented. Had a first round grade on him. But our issue was the injury. And that's why he failed into the further. Like, and here's the thing though, mate. Like, if you remember our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com, he posted a tweet for watch out for these guys for round number 2. Revel was one of those guys for round 2. So, and I was thinking, it's like I don't feel comfortable picking him in the second round because of what we've done in the past, like so Jalen Smith and like players with a red flag with injury. I don't want to go through that whole scenario again. Yeah. Like, with the third round, I feel a lot more comfortable with it because it's more lower risk, higher reward in that scenario. With a third round pick. So for me, I think this is a great pick, but obviously we need to wait and see how it pans out. Because like we said, Shavon Revel is a first round talent, despite how much football he's missed out.
Yeah. So his 2023 season, unbelievable. You know me, I'm always a year ahead. So like I've got about 90 odd players on my draft board for 2026. And it's like, But like Revel, when he was on there and I was on my list, he was about on my board because after his 23 season, he was on my board and I had a look. Something like 22nd on there because his season was that phenomenal. It was outstanding. The dude just bossed it. You could see. And what I like, 6'2". But when he's standing there, you see his arms, his hands go down to his knees. I mean, that's just length and range that is just elite at a cornerback level. No surprise, he's just batting balls away, getting interceptions. Even in 2024, before the injury, he plays 3 games, has 3 pass deflections, has 3 interceptions, and one... 2 interceptions, and 1 pick 6. That was in 3 games. Then, obviously, he goes...
with the ACL injury.
In practice, and the season's over. My biggest problem with this, I'm glad that they didn't do this in the second round, because that's very much a typical second round thing that they do. Go for the injury upside guy. Because he was a first round guy. My issue with it, it's not even the ACL. By the way, they've already put him on PUP. Just so you're aware.
All right, okay.
He's already on PUP. I think he will be moved off PUP once they get...
more diagnosis.
And they get to California and he's doing some work in training camp at Oxnard. And then I think they'll move him off because he'd be ready to play. And then the buzz will really kick in. But my issue isn't so much the ACL. My issue isn't even that the Cowboys have injuries at cornerback. It's the two combined. When you have an injured cornerback come into a group of injured players, you're just like, okay, so what's the plan if Trayvon Diggs isn't ready?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the plan if Shavon Revel has a setback and he's not ready. What is that? Who's playing slot corner and who's playing opposite Bland? Because right now, Mukwamu's going to be playing slot corner and we've got nobody on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's
apprehension.
I would say that's the concern rather than apprehension, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of ifs where it comes to it.
There's a lot of moving parts there that can go wrong.
But when things do start to kind of come more back into our favor, when players are fully fit, then fantastic. It's going to be all guns blazing going forward. So, but yeah, like from reading from all the articles from ESPN, they're really like think this has been one of the steals of the draft despite the injury.
I get that. Yeah.
I totally get it. So, hit me with the grade for Siobhan Revelle.
For me, one of the Cowboys' biggest needs was cornerback. They've taken a cornerback. Good. They didn't get an injury-prone guy in the second. That's another tick in the box. But he's not so much injury-prone. He's only had one full season in college. That's an issue for me. But saying that, is one season where it was elite. It was, you're looking at, and he's done it, he was doing it against top competition, against some really good wide receivers he was doing this against. Yeah. So that's impressive. So that raises the bar up. But for me, purely because until I see him fully healthy, I'm a little bit nervous with the pick. So it's just a B for me.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. A B for me. It's just purely because of the question mark factors. Like, it's coming into a team where we've got injuries already in place. How quickly is he going to be ready? Like, is he going to be this? Like, I suppose the upside is the ACL. It's not like one of those. When it comes to ACLs, once you've done it once and it's been rebuilt, it seems to be, it always kind of remains intact till the rest of your career. It doesn't really tend to snap again. Like what I mean by that, like when you take DeMarvion Overshawn, for example, like it wasn't the same leg, it was the different leg. You know what I mean?
So when
it came to the likes of Jalen Smith, like he never had any issues after his injury. Like,
I get what you're saying. I know where you're going. But then we can turn that back though and say, but we had LVE and we had Sean Lee.
That's very true. different complete injuries though. That was more neck for sure.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying though. But yeah. For me, right? This is a very, very stupid comment what I'm about to say. All right. This for me, it's a B grade on the surface level of what it is right now. But by the time we get, if we get to past training camp and we get into the season and the dude is completely out of the woods with this injury and we get in the Siobhan Revelle of 2023, it's a pure A plus because of the value and all the rest. Right now, though, I can only scout and grade on what I can see. And what I can see right now is a guy who's injured going on PUP, coming into a group that's injured.
Yeah, no, that's a fair assessment, man. And I totally agree with you on that. Okay, so with our next pick and round number five, obviously we didn't have a fourth round pick because obviously we traded for Jonathan Mingo. We'll talk about that in a second. But in round number five at pick 149, the Dallas Cowboys have selected running back from Texas, Jaden Blue.
Yeah, you actually missed this one because you had to go to other things when this pick came in. So when you came back, you actually came back to two draft picks, but we'll talk about the end of it. You came back, you're like, ooh, and so we had a lot to talk about. Jaden Blue, I mean, the good thing is we took a running back. A lot of people were like, ooh, when are we going to get one? We finally took one. It was all running back three. Thing, but just this group was just so deep. And by the time we got to the draft, to Cowboys, this fifth round draft pick for the Cowboys, there was still so many names on the board. You were just like, oh my God, you know, you played it smart here because there were so many names to play with.
I was just going to say, like, there was quite a few running backs there available. And I was like, maybe this could be one. But Jaden Blue, I'll be perfectly honest, was not one of the ones I expected.
No.
But when you look at the statistics what Schottenheimer is looking to do, he caught 42 passes for 368 yards and scored six times. And obviously, he rushed over 730 yards under 134 carries. So it's bringing mixture. We're utilizing running backs in the passing game as well. And he does that.
Yeah, that. But what I like is when you watch the tape, explosive. Very Dalvin Cookish, right? In terms of he's gone. 0-60 in as fast as you can get. Dalvin Cook speed. And then he's gone. He's fast. You know, we're talking 4.3 speed here. We talked about seeing a pattern emerging in this draft. You go, let's take this dynamic running, run blocking inside guard and on the first day. And what we're going to do is we're going to plonk that in front of one of the most explosive and fastest running backs in this class.
That's
now you see the connection and you see how it's all interlinking and you go, this is the plan. You are sticking to your board, and I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's been no diverting at all. There's been none of that.
Yeah.
Like, after kind of re-looking over Jaden's game film and what we did to bring to the offensive line with Tyler Booker, it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is try and take the pressure of CeeDee Lamb per se as well. Take the pressure of Dak Prescott and really reinforce of bringing smash mouth football back to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love to me, it feels like we're going back to 2014 all over again, where we had the great Wallout Dallas 2.0 with Tyron Smith and Zeke Elliott in his rookie season. It kind of feels like we're having that burst again.
That fire up front, for sure, yeah.
And even when we had DeMarco Murray under Tony Romo. And even Darren McFadden, our O-line was brilliant. Our run game was exceptional.
Yeah.
We had a good 4 to 5 years of exceptional run game with Zeke, DeMarco Murray, and with Darren McFadden. So,
an aging run DMC as well.
Exactly.
We've got 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And
here's the thing, right, Paul? Add that speed to what you're hoping, you're very, very much hoping you're going to get back with Javonte Williams. So you have Javonte Williams, who's the hammer, and then you'll have Jaden Blue, who's the nail.
Yeah. And not to mention, like, obviously we'll talk about the later picks as well, but what we're doing right now, we're bringing a lot of 1-2 combinations, and which is looking to be a running back by committee, but it's going to be
the most sense of the word, yeah.
And the most sensible way of doing things, we're not like deviating like, oh, this is our RB1 no matter what, despite how they might be poorly be playing. And this is no disrespect to Ezekiel Elliott. Like, he came in last year, like, kind of like trying to still be the RB1. It just didn't work out. It just wasn't the same.
And they kind of forced it for too long, too.
They forced it too long. And since we switched up to more making Rico Dowdle the RB1, make it more part of the committee way of doing things, things start to click a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's definitely a learning curve for what we're doing, especially with the type of offense that Schottenheimer is looking to bring together for this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Again, I'm excited for it. So, Mike, for this grade on Jaden Blue, I'm going to give it a B+.
Yeah, you're a little higher than I'm going to give it a B-, only because There were other running backs on the board that I had at the time when that pick was taken higher than Blue. Not many. There was only, I think, two.
Crap, I didn't even think about that. You know what? I'm going to change my grade. I'm going to go with a B.
Okay. Yeah, so
just a straight up B then, because yeah, you're right. I can't remember what running backs were available at the time.
I'm trying to think now. There was two available. Devin Neal was definitely one.
That would have been an A plus for me if it was Devin Neal. Was DJ Geddens available?
He was, but I didn't have him higher. I tell you what, I'll have a look because otherwise it's going to really bug me, and I'll go through my list.
There was, oh God, who else was there?
I tell you now. I'm just logging into my. Oh, sorry, I've gone to my mock drafts. Oh, now I've gone to stats. I'm trying to do everything too quickly here. Right, here we go. My list of running backs who was available, and I'm trying to go off memory, but I'm sure it'll come in. So I had above him, yeah, Devin Neal and Ollie Gordon.
Gordon was the one. Yeah. He went on the sixth round, did he not?
Yeah, well, yeah. And yeah. I get it. You know, I understand the reasons why. Jaden Blue and, you know, there was all the other guys were sort of just floating around. LaQuint Allen, but you could get him at a later round.
Yeah, yeah. I was a wee bit gutted that we lost out on him.
And like, Taj Brooks.
And Taj Brooks, yeah. Taj Brooks, yeah. He went to the Saints, did he not?
Let me bring up his file. He went to the Bengals.
Oh, the Bengals. Ah. Hmm. That's actually quite a good move for them. I'll give them that. That's a good move.
I tell you something the Bengals did as well is they've drafted in the international IPPPP, they've taken a British player.
Oh, what, this year?
Yeah, they took him in the UDFA pool. A guy from Birmingham.
Good for him.
Just to add some World's Team news in.
Well, it's not technically World's Team, but it's still in the National NFL, but it's not part of the Cowboys, though, so we'll let that one slide.
It's worldy stuff.
Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. I've given a B, you've given it a B-, purely for the reasons because of who was still available, pretty much.
Because I just had two guys higher on the board. But, you know, saying that, this is my grade. But, like, they've obviously, I mean, they would have done a deep dive on it because he would have been a Dallas Day, you know, Texas. So they would have had a lot more dealings with him. But what they've done is, so Devin Neal, Ollie Gordon, both good guys, very much different type of running back to Jaden Blue. Yeah. You can see that they're going for explosive and speed.
Yeah.
That's what they've done then. They've overlooked the other two guys on my board and just circled right down to, they've gone, no, this guy has the explosive and the speed that we want to utilize, that we want on this offense. So they're going for that theme in that respect. So you just go, okay.
But it fills
a big, big need.
Oh, 100%. And just because he's a fifth rounder, normally a lot of people would associate fifth rounders, are they going to make it to the roster, etc. He will make the roster 100% based on how the situation with our run game is right now.
Okay.
So
it wouldn't even surprise me if, like, because we got this running back by committee approach and what have you, it wouldn't even surprise me if, like, so theoretically be a starter if you see Jaden Blue come out and take the first snap of a game in one particular week. That he's the RB, essentially he's the RB1 that week.
Possibly. Who knows? We just have to wait and find out.
Yeah. It just depends how they want to scheme it, you know?
Yep. So, okay. So, but also in the fifth round, we made a trade. We gave up our fifth and sixth rounds to move up to take Shamar James from,
yes,
excuse me, from Florida, the linebacker. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, Mike, I didn't really look too much into Shamar James, if I'll be perfectly honest. So you would know more info about him. So I don't think I'll be able to grade as much as Shamar James from what
I've seen. Shamar Stewart, unfortunately. That would have been nice. We would have got that jersey, mate.
Well, I would have got the jersey, so
that would have been
so but yeah, so from what I've seen of Shamar James, there was a couple of wee loopholes that I saw a bit in terms of responsiveness, in terms of reading the place, can be that little bit like off a second slow to react. That's the only thing I noticed. But other than that, in terms of his tackling skills, seem to be really good. So, but other than that, but you know more about Shamar James than I do. So hit me with it, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, so he's definitely just like a react type guy. More than anything, run deep. He's a run-stopping linebacker. That's what this guy is. Very typically, that run-stopping off-ball linebacker we see in today's NFL. So it kind of like looks a bit odd sometimes. You're like, eh? But that's just the way it's gone. Not bad at coverage. He's not that bad at coverage because he's got a bit of speed to him. But he's fluid to the ball. His issues are just a lack of instincts. He does lack instincts. And, you know, you talk about athleticism and speed. You do see him slow to catch up to these guys. And, you know, that is something that is, you know, you say about tackling, his tackling technique does need a little bit of work. It's not bad. Just, you know, sometimes... He'll fall off tackles. But it's more the process and the instincts. I think what this pick is all about is, A, it's leaning towards trying to help in stop the run, because he's mostly a run-stopping linebacker, more than anything. That's what they're going to use him for. But it's also covering them while they wait for Overshow.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously we brought in Kenneth Murray, brought in Jack Sanborn, which I love. And we've got Maris Lauerfeu and Damon Clark. And obviously, as you mentioned, we've got DeMarvin Overshawn, who will return at some point this season, this upcoming season. Whether it start or halfway through, we don't know. We don't know an estimate yet. We even spoke to Mickey Spagnuolo about that. There's no significant time frame on that yet. So, but just to kind of read out, like, he had 166 tackles, 11.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 4 pass deflections, and an interception. And he's likely going to be a backup to, and also be a core special teams contribution.
Definitely, but special teams, yeah.
And with likes of having Matt Elbefuss as our defensive coordinator, who has been fundamental as a linebackers coach in the past.
Yeah.
This could be something that we can probably get the best out of, like, so Shamar James. Who knows?
And Shamar James has as well. I had to go and check it. He does have quite a lot of extensive experience playing special teams. And this dude as well, when he's playing special teams, he's had to take on guys like twice his size. And because he's just got this fearless physical mentality to him, he's just like, he just wants to tear everything apart. That's just the type of guy he is.
Mentality. That's the other theme.
Yeah. But, you know, this again is he's a high character guy. Does come with medical red flags. But the good thing is the medical red flags, unlike with
Siobhan Revelle.
Yeah, with Siobhan Revelle. James has happened not last year, the year before. And it's 2024. There wasn't, you didn't really see any of the issues. So you'd like to think that
he got over it.
Yeah. And the surgery he had as well in the offseason doesn't seem to have affected him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't mind the pick. I like it because linebacker is somewhere that needs retooling. It needs people. It needs special teamers, certainly, because Cowboys lost a number of special teamers this year.
That's so true.
They need to fill that up. James fills the role. And at a fifth round pick, mate, after like 150, you're kind of just like, yeah, go for it. That's the type of guy where you're picking you.
All right, then. Well, help me with your grade on Shamar James then.
does some scary instincts, is bad, but at processing speed, but he's physical. He's a puncher. He's a run stopper, which the Cowboys are desperate for. So that fills a need. So for me at this stage, let's go B minus again.
B minus. All right. Okay. Obviously, I won't grade on. I won't grade on it because, like I said, I don't know too much about Shamar James, but it is a need we needed. Even add more to the special teams, which is great because obviously we don't have Bones Faso anymore. We've got a new special teams coordinator, so we've got that. But moving on to the sixth round, the Dallas Cowboys double dip in offensive line by selecting Ajani Cornelius, offensive line from Oregon. Wow. Okay, that was a nice surprise also. Like, he has been deemed to play guard. I believe he has played tackle as well.
Yes.
And he's played on the right side. So we're adding more competition to the right-hand side of the offensive line, which is needed. Mm-hmm. It is needed. So he played 50 games at Rhode Island and at Oregon at right tackle, but he could move to guard. The Cowboys, like, this is based on ESPN's evaluation. The Cowboys want to be physical, and that's the style of play, but it does need some work. So it seems to be like we're just stocking up in terms of just bringing more competition to this offensive line. And for a sixth-round pick, what more can you ask for, really?
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, but it's up to the Cowboys really what they want to do. If they do want to move him to guard, the move to guard is more because of his size. Arm length and wingspan and hand size is all very, very small. Like 33-inch arms, which for an offensive tackle is small, but it's on the right. So you kind of can get away with it a little bit there.
Yeah.
I just wonder, is this pick like they're trying to push Terrence Steele. So it's like, we're getting guys in here to compete. They are going to push this right tackle position.
Well, here's the question, Mike. Who is the backup to Terrence Steele?
True. I mean, like, you could play some different options at right tackle.
But I mean, more of a solidified backup. Like,
I know what you're saying. Because Matt Maletsko could be one, but what's he done? Do you know what I mean? He's never really moved anything. You have Nathan Thomas, which could be interesting. But now what you're doing is you're creating a battle on that right tackle side for the backup and to try and push Terrence Steele up and get him back to what he had, you know, that first year when he was just demolishing everything.
Yeah. No, I think it was the second season. It was the second season where he really stepped up and really was a force. For me, I'm just going to go straight to it. I'm going to give this a solid B+.
Yeah. Yeah. Down offensive line? How can it not? You know, I like the size. I like the strength, physicality, good pass blocker. Very typical frame for an offensive lineman, you know, that size and build. And here's the thing, is that so he was in the Power Five at Oregon and had to go up against some real stiff NFL competition over there. Held up fine, did it. Yep. He proved to you against some of these guys he can hold up. He also did it in the Senior Bowl. We seen him in the Senior Bowl, actually. I can remember, and I was like, who's this guy from Oregon? And I had to go and look into him more.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with you. I mean, it's like you're saying, we're just levering up the competition here. Like, we've got a new offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach in Connor Riley. Like, we want to bring as many options to the table and just make everyone really fight for their place.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
For me, I mean, I'm going with you. B+, right, Paul? But again, the theme, Booker, and then you go with this pick, and like with Jaden Blue that happened before him, I'm just looking at this, I'm going, they are committing to the run game. They are looking for aggressive run blockers right now with physicality, strength. Cornelius literally lands into that wheelhouse perfectly.
Yeah, I totally agree.
with that theme. B plus all around.
Yep, 100%. So next pick. I really like this pick, Mike. I really do like this pick. So in round 7 at 217, you don't really expect much in round 7. But I think for what we got in terms of the type of player and what he brings to the table, it's going to be a bit of a shock factor in some regard, to especially to one particular Mazi Smith. as we brought in Jay Toya, defensive tackle from UCLA. Mm-hmm. Three-year starter at UCLA, absolute run stopper, could eat up those double team blocks and eat up some space. And he does have some pass rush abilities as well, with 19 pressures last season and with three sacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the crazy bit. £344. That is a man who you are going to struggle to move. He's a third of a ton.
And here's the interesting fact as well. He's a former rugby player as well.
Yeah. Ironically, Jerry Jones said something. Or who was it? It wasn't Jerry Jones. They said something, and they said, like, oh, this is a guy who could help us with the tush push. And I was like, oh, no.
In some way, he's telling the truth.
In the opposite way.
Yeah. Like to stop the tush push from moving any advantage, he like put Toya right in there at the nose at the zero or the one position. So just the
an absolute boss, this guy. I mean, two gaps the hell out of it. Hard to dislodge, but he has all this just insane lower body strength, and you're just looking at it going, how are you supposed to move this guy? I'm with you. I think this is a great pick. Helps with Mazi. You've got rotation. They needed to fill with a one tech / nose tackle to do something more. Like, he's an intelligent player as well, right? Mm-hmm. He's just not all brawn. He's got brains. He can see what's coming. He'll diagnose the play, look at what blocking is ahead of him, and be able to react to it effectively and correctly. And here's another thing, Paul. Here's something else I found out, that in UCLA, all of the coaches and the players loved him.
Yeah.
He seems to be character again.
Again, character is the theme here. We want to build a team that's all based on the character, the same mindset to really drive. And if coaches love him, if teammates love this guy, then that's the way it's kind of going forward. We're not having much bravados and much any negativity sayers within the team as much. So there's definitely going to be a culture change for sure. And I'm happy with that 100%. Just a wee fun fact as well. This was the pick where we got back from the New England Patriots with the Joe Milton trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, there's as well family history with Toya. That there's family with him in football. He's got family who've been in college, in the NFL. So the bloodlines are all there. I'm trying to think where it was. I think he was in the Shrine Bowl, but he didn't do much, if I remember. But I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I might be wrong. Forget what I'm saying there. I think he was at the Shrine Bowl is what I'm thinking of. But he wasn't able to put together much. But I don't think a lot of that was on him. I think it was more of what was going on around him. But in UCLA, they have said the coaches and the players, and they're like, look, this dude will put his body on the line for us. That he will go out there, and like, he's not interested in padding his stats to get better results. Like, if he's got to go and push in and take on this block, knowing that he's not going to get the tackle or the sack, he will sacrifice that for the better for the team.
Yeah, and what I thought was quite interesting, we saw the video of Jay getting drafted, and very calm demeanor, Like, he was telling his family, basically, they kind of hushed in on him on the phone, and he was like, yes, sir, very respectful.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It seems like he's got that silent assassin, like great personality, very willing understanding on the field, but when it comes to when he's actually on the field, he could be an absolute badass. Like, but then again, like, just remember, this is a 7th round pick. We're not expecting him to start. Like, we're still expecting Mazi to be...
Go on. Yeah.
Like, based on like the semantics of it, with Mazi being a 1st round pick, you expect him to take the next level up and try and improve. But for a 7th rounder to really come in guns blazing and really make like really tough decisions for the Cowboys coaching staff, this is a guy you could probably do that. Like, it's like, Mazi, you're getting beat by a 7th rounder. To really basically try and light a fire up his butt.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you there. And, you know, you say a 7th round and you don't think he'd be a start. I don't think start, but I think he makes the final 53. Mostly that this is a run-stuffing nose tackle. Because of the type of player you are and how you're going to utilize him, it's not seen as a high priority. He's not getting sacks. He's not doing the sexy stuff that you want. He's doing more of the dirty work. So that's where you tend to find these guys late on day three.
Yeah.
So Tyre, for me, fits so many, he ticks so many boxes. For me, this is a B+. Not because it's not bad value, not because it's bad player and doesn't fit. It's just mostly that you're bringing him in for one thing and one thing only. And that's it, really.
Yeah, well, for me, I'm going with a solid A- on this one.
I like it, yeah.
I'm not going for an A-. We're basically one grade away from each other. So, yeah, I went with an A- on this one.
My next one is much, much higher. So...
Oh, yeah, we both reacted like, oh, and we actually had a special guest on the UK Cowboys fans show doing that, our good friend Jay Tuck, who was at the draft reporting for CFO Sports. Correct, and we broke it like right in front of him. We were like, no way we got him. So, yes, we ended up on round 7 at pick 239. We picked up Phil Maffa, running back, Clemson. We did double and running back.
Which is wild. Wild. I mean, like... We were hoping to get one. We did say, you know, oh, there's a chance we could get two. You know, we did do that. I think in one of our mock drafts, we did take 2 running backs.
We did? Multiple times. You
know, yeah. And we took 2 linebackers in a few drafts too. I love this. This is so perfect. If Maffa ends up sticking around for a long time, which I hope he will, and this is how we put it on the live show with Jaden Blue, you have, essentially right now, you have a rookie thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
That's what you have.
Absolutely. Lightning being Blue and the thunder being Maffa. 100%. Yes. Like, I mean, he finished his career with over nearly 3,000 yards with 28 touchdowns and 14 starts last year. He was over 1,000 yards with 8 touchdowns, backfield with Blue, Maffa, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, Deuce Vaughn and Malik Davis. Mm-hmm. We're likely going to have 4 tailbacks, so it's going to raise a lot of more competition for this offense.
Yeah, like so. I think Miles Sanders is about to walk out the door.
I don't know, like if what Sanders says is true and Schottenheimer says he has plans for him, then it's really on Sanders to deliver that promise, really. So it's really on Sanders to really outshine the likes of Deuce Vaughn and Malik Davis. So I'm more worried about Deuce Vaughn and Malik Davis, more so Deuce Vaughn, because, great story, how we drafted him, etc. His dad works for the Cowboys, etc. But does that really now fit into the narrative of what we're trying to do now with this type of offense going forward?
Yeah. I just worry with Miles Sanders fitting it. Deuce Vaughn, I think they're still trying to figure out. I think
it's been 2 years, mate.
It's
been 2 years now.
With a guy who's 5'5" in the NFL? I get it, you know.
I don't think it's necessarily his height and stuff. It's
the size.
I don't think it is. I think it's just different qualities these running backs bring to the table, and it's what they're more looking for.
Yeah.
Like it's physicality. This isn't really the most physical type of running back. Like, yeah, he can take on the tackle, yeah, but he'd be much more easier to wrap up, I would imagine. Easier to bring down.
He's going to be easy to bring down. But so, not easy to bring down is Phil Maffa, because he is a bulldozer. Now, what was the one thing all Cowboys fans had an issue with last season? It was the red zone, especially when we were when we were like on the short. So 5 yards or
right, third and five from the end zone, all that type of stuff.
Why?
Yep. Like really short yardage. We couldn't even gain an inch.
Real short. Like, yeah. I mean, like, and we've seen as well the year before, Tony Pollard. You know, he's at the 6 yard line. He's trying to get around the edge to score a touchdown. He ends up going backwards. You know, we've seen this time again. Phil Maffa, on the other hand, there's your guy. Red zone demon.
And just to add as well, Mike, go back to the Tyler Booker prick. Go back to that.
Yeah,
it all connects.
Yeah. I mean, like, short yardage, goal line guy. This is your guy. He scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game. I went and checked this. They were all inside the 10-yard line. All 4. That because this guy is a short yardage guy. He's not going to burst away, but the Cowboys have got that bursty guy. What Phil Maffa is the guy you have to come in and do the bulldozing. He clears the path. He smashes it around. Don't forget, right, you know, of the names you mentioned then, right, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Javonte Williams, who's going to be kind of your workhorse. He's going to be a multifaceted type guy. But Phil Maffa brings you a level of physicality. But also, so does Hunter Lipke. So you have these two different guys who can offer you two different options to really punch that ball.
Yeah, totally. So how would you grade the Phil Maffa pick, Mike?
This, for me, not main, minus or plus, it's an A. A, because he is talented. He's coming in behind what the Cowboys have already put together in this draft. And at the 7, like, so it's their second to last pick. They're penultimate pick. And you get a guy who's this productive at Clemson. And, like, he was at Clemson in 2023 when they were really struggling. And Maffa kept going. He kept trying to do his thing. He knows how to play in the committee. He's behind now this offensive line. He's not going to be the guy, but he's part of the mix, who has an absolutely fantastic skill set the Cowboys can use.
Yep, definitely. And finally, on to our... Well,
what was your... Is your grade an A as well?
My grade was an A as well.
Okay, yep. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yep, so finally, with the last pick of the draft at round 7, 247th overall, the Dallas Cowboys select Tommy Akinbisote from Maryland, defensive tackle. So again, we double dip and de-tackle, but the difference is he's more of a free tech.
Yeah. I mean, I know you love like the defensive line, the trenches there. So give me yours and then I'll give you mine.
Okay. I think, like, again, this is going back with the whole theme, high motor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, he can establish a pop position against blockers, but he struggles with his balance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got like a 10.9 pass rush win rate, which is quite decent. But because of his athleticism, that's why he kind of fell down to like the really late rounds. So we're not expecting a lot from him, but him being like a good backup to like Sosa, Solomon Thomas, etc., it's a valuable pickup. I will say it's not the best pick by the Cowboys. I would say this is probably the least graded, I would say.
Yeah, in terms I'm with you there in this regard.
So, but he can bring someone to the table. Will he make the 53 man roster? Yeah. Maybe.
I don't think he does.
I don't think so, but there is a chance, just depending how things work out. Will he make the practice squad? I definitely think he will make that.
He's there's a chance he could make the practice squad. Yeah, I mean, that makes more sense than I'm fine for free. For me, it's production. And that's my biggest issue with him, is that you look at it in the last... So that
but I mean, he's a backup.
I know, though, that's what I mean. But, like, he's a backup, so production's going to be an issue. So he's a backup in college. He's really, if you're going up to the NFL, you expect him to be a backup still. But you're looking at a guy with 60 tackles and 2 sacks in just 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really much else we can really say about Tommy, but it'd just be very interesting to see how we do on that.
What's your grade for Tommy?
I'm gonna give this a straight up C.
Yeah, I had a C plus. Production is what scares me, but he's your last pick. You know, Dallas Cowboys are picking like what, 10 picks before the end of the draft, before Mr. Irrelevant. So it's kind of like, yeah, just shoot whatever, you know, just get a guy, whatever you want to go for. And let's see what you can put together. I don't mind. So it's not like it's an F or a D. It's like C plus, because you're just like, yeah, whatever. It's the last pick.
Yeah.
I
mean, for me, like, if it was me, like, even getting like an X type receiver.
Yeah.
Would have been made more sense, even though
another linebacker,
cornerback. I would have been much more happier. I probably would have treated that a bit better in that regard, in terms of position of need. But overall, though, Mike, what would you grade the overall Dallas Cowboys 2025 NFL draft?
A minus is what I've given it.
I'm the exact same. A minus.
We said this before, and JTech agreed with us too when we said this, that to me, this has all the fingerprints all over it of just Will McClay. They've sat down with Schottenheimer, Jerry, this is what I'm talking about now, Jerry and Steven, they've sat there and they've gone, what do you want to do? And he's gone, all I'm after is this. And they've gone to Will McClay and they've gone, listen, what Schottenheimer's looking to do is this. Draft us those guys the best way all this fits together, and they've just left him to it. This is a Will McClay draft.
100%. Like, and we kind of knew after that second round, like after the Donovan pick, we knew we're not going to be drafting a wide receiver. We knew that.
No, yeah, that was it from done. And I think on day two,
the Higgins and Jalen Noh, the two Iowa State guys, went off the board,
we were saying it. Getting one. Yeah,
because any guys after that, there wasn't really much of a X-type wide receiver that can contribute from day one type of thing. They would be more of a backup in some regard.
And so, all these guys need to be better than what you've already got in your roster. Because if they're not better, you're just checking them in with this group of guys you've already got. What use is that? You know?
And then we said this right after the draft was finished. It's like, in comes the question marks now. Are we going to bring in the likes of an experienced X-type wide receiver? Are we going to bring in the likes of Keenan Allen? Are we going to bring back Amari Cooper?
Which there is a lot of momentum on that right now.
And I can totally get it. Why? Because like, to me, I would bring back Amari Cooper personally, for me, because he's
as long as it's not going to cost too much.
He'll be cheaper than Keenan Allen, put it that way.
I think so.
One, he's cheaper than Keenan Allen. Two, he's younger. Three, he's actually worked with Dak Prescott and he's worked with like CD Lamb briefly before. That to me makes more sense. And bring him back home.
We
just found out it was more Mike McCarthy that wanted. It was more Mike McCarthy that wanted Amari Cooper to be offloaded rather than Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones.
Yeah, that was what I was about to say. You beat me to it there. Yeah.
Jerry Jones wanted to keep Amari Cooper. It was more so on Mike McCarthy. So cheers for that, Mike.
So how about this? What if we do the UDFAs later in the week?
Yes, let's do that.
About those guys, and we've got more time to research on them, watch them, and take on them.
And there should be more additional additions.
Exactly. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah, they might do something. Or one of those guys, they might be gone before we even get there.
Yeah, well, one thing I will mention about the undrafted free agency, as of right now, we have not drafted, we're not brought in quarterback yet, because I believe the rules are, especially for rookie minicamp and stuff like that, you do need to have some type of rookie quarterback there in the building. You can't use any experienced players to like throw the ball, etc., because that would be redeemed as someone that's actually currently on the roster.
There are sneaky ways around it too. You know, they can get like they've done before, they can get like a guy from the XFL, bring him in, and then he's gone by the end of it. Or guy off the street, you know, that they're just like, who's this guy? And you're just like, oh, we know what that's about.
Yeah. There we go. So, and that's probably what will likely happen. UFL, the XFL, whatever you want to call it nowadays.
Yeah, USFL, whatever, yeah.
I think it's just called the UFL now.
Yeah.
But there's actually some good football games that happened the other day. San Antonio versus Dallas was the other day there, I believe it was. That was actually quite a decent game.
Yeah.
But yes, folks, that is our. I can't even talk now. Yeah. That is the end of this week's episode. Obviously, the big news for the Worlds team, we have joined the Believe Network.
Yes.
So there's going to be a couple of changes on the show. Obviously, the graphics are going to change again. And obviously, we're going to be doing a bit more ad reads and stuff like that. So, without saying that, we need to do give our ad read and big
shout out to... I did send you a reminder.
Yep, a big shout out to our sponsor, Cowboys Experience. So, while that ad's on, we will see you on the other side, folks.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience, the ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yeah, be sure to check out CowboysExperience.com. Be sure to use the discount code WorldsTeam2025. Me and Mike and among with all the UK Cowboys fans are going over for the Thanksgiving game. So if you're in Dallas for Thanksgiving this year, come over and say hello. We're going to be at the Cowboys Experience meet and greet, meeting with some current players and some former players. So we'll be there. We'll be conducting interviews with fans and lots of other stuff, right? Live in Dallas. So, obviously, that we kind of mentioned that we're now joined the Believe Network. We're going to be changing the format of episodes slightly. It's not going to be like once a week. We are going to be more reactive in a way. We're going to be doing shows where it's going to be more instant, where we're going to be like doing shows more on a regular occurrence, maybe twice a week, maybe even three. But yes, folks, we are absolutely honored and thrilled to be joining the Believe Network, where you can find likes of podcasts by Phil Simms, who represents the New York Giants, Jesse Hawley, as you know, who's on Hanging with the Boys. He does the Believe in Cowboys podcast there. And Jeff Kavanaugh as well. And our good friend Law Nation has also joined the Believe Network as well. So be sure to go and check it out, folks. And it'll be on www.believe.com. Be sure to go and check it out. We will be featured on that in the coming weeks. But yes, folks, stay tuned for that. But yes, Mike, before we do finish off, please tell everyone where everyone can find you.
You can find me on Twitter or X at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K. And you, Mr. P.
You can find me at I Am P-Stu on X and Instagram. Yes, folks, that's it. We will be back next week. Hopefully, we'll be under the new design and format, and we'll just kind of see how things go from there. Just have to wait and see what happens in store. So, but yes, folks, until next time, we will see you And like as always here on the World's Team, it's not just America's team. It is the World's Team. See you guys next time.
You've been listening to the World's Team podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team. On Twitter at the_worlds_team. And on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.